everybody. This is Amber Bradley. Thanks for joining us on today's TalkLP.com podcast, where we cover everything about loss prevention. All right. Thank you for joining TalkLP.com. You have joined the Unscripted Side of LP podcast. I'm Amber Bradley, and I've got my trusty co-host, Dave Thompson. And I know he so wants to tell you where he's at today. He's a braggadocious today. So tell us where you're at, Dave Thompson.
I like being surrounded by great people. So I am in Seattle. Well, that's why I'm part of this, you know. I'm in Seattle. It's not raining. I'm at the Microsoft corporate office at the Access Retail Leadership Forum. So I found this nice little cozy space. There's Xbox being played in one room. Somebody's creating a new PowerPoint in the other room. So I feel smarter and more technological advanced just by being here, I think.
Well, good for you. Your smarts are going to rub off on us. But I'll one-up you because we have a smarter than everybody guest today. And live up to that, Adrian Beck. We're so happy to welcome you. And I know it's probably like midnight over where you are in the UK, but you are absolutely one of the top academics in the loss prevention space globally. And that's really no joke. So we're excited to have you and to share some of your insights. But first, I want to start with some of the folks, if you have probably heard your name, but maybe don't know exactly what you do, who you do it for. So we're going to give you some space to just introduce yourself and let everybody know kind of your realm of influence, if you will. Welcome.
Amber, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to join you. It is actually only 6 p.m. here, so it's not midnight. So I'm wide awake, but getting slightly hungry. Getting my tea time. So what do I do? Well, I've been working with the loss prevention industry for the best part of 30 years now. I started out, and I'm still there, actually, at the University of Leicester. And back in the late 1980s, I came across the loss prevention director for Woolworths, as it was then. It's unfortunately Woolworths went out of business in 2000. But back then, it was a big name on the high street in the UK. And he was bemoaning the fact that there wasn't enough research being done around the area of loss prevention. So he sort of tasked me to begin to do something about this as a young researcher back in the late 1980s. And so ever since then, I've really connected with the industry and tried to develop a whole series of projects, publications to try and help the industry think differently about what has been a very, very thorny problem that has affected the retail industry ever since, really. It's been about, you know, this problem of loss. Over those years, I've carried out a whole series of projects looking at different aspects of loss prevention, but really just trying to get the industry to think differently, to try and inject a bit of rigor and robustness into the way that we try and understand the problems that retailers experience and push people, because I think there's a real tendency within the industry just to sit back a little bit and just to, you know, think that the only job that they've got to do is, you know, catch criminals and put tags on things. And I want to really push them and say, look, you know, we need to think differently about how we understand what loss is, how we go about managing it, recognizing that, you know, that the retail industry is a fantastically innovative and constantly changing world. And if loss prevention is going to play a part in that, that equally has got to be innovative and constantly changing and thinking for new ideas as to how it can play a role in ensuring that retail remains an important part of our societies. So that's sort of what I've been doing over those years, you know, churning out research, trying to make it very industry focused, trying to produce publications that aren't just for other academics, but actually hopefully of interest to those who work in the industry as well. So in a nutshell, Amber, that's the sort of stuff I've been doing. And it's been slowly enabling me to lose my hair at quite a rapid pace over the last 30 years.
That's all right. I'm curious if you're hungry. What is it, fish and chips? Is that what's on the menu? with a Guinness?
Not on a Wednesday night. No, that would be
no. Okay.
Inappropriate, I feel. But I think we're having fish this evening. But whether it's fish and chips, I doubt very much.
I'm curious because I can imagine the amount of research projects that you've done and areas you focused is probably a wide breadth. But is there one project or topic that you feel you are most impactful or most proud of, or maybe was most exciting to have worked on?
I think there are probably three that I think have hopefully have had a reasonable impact. I think the first one was back in 2009 when I produced a book called New Loss Prevention, and that was really trying to, you know, get the industry to think beyond the boundaries that it's usually set itself to really think about how loss prevention can be playing an active role in how losses really affect the retail industry. And for me, you know, a big part of that was to say, you know what, there's a lot of choices that retailers make, and a lot of those choices are for good reasons, because they want to do them to hopefully generate more sales, happier customers, and so on. But what we need to recognize is that those choices also have consequences. And therefore, you know, if a business wants to do something, then it's got to recognize that, yes, it could have a benefit, but also it can have a negative side as well. And so what new loss prevention was trying to do was to say, you really need to do a deep dive and understand what is the consequence of all business choices that are being made in your organizations, and think about the proper root causes of what may be generating loss, and go beyond just simply putting sticking plasters on the wounds and actually going back and understanding what the real cause of it has been. So I'm particularly pleased with that one. But I think more recently, I think the work I've been doing around total retail loss to, you know, get the industry to think beyond just that very narrow parameter of shrinkage, you know, the idea of just only looking at unknown loss and getting to think about a broader palette of losses, I think is now really beginning to, I hope, you know, have an impact on the industry. And I'm just actually finishing off a follow-up study to that, which will be published probably in October this year, which is looking at how organizations have been using total retail loss and also how it needs to change to take account of the evolutionary nature of retailing. And then probably the third one has been the study I finished the end of last year, which was on self-scan checkouts and really beginning to provide the industry with some benchmark numbers on what the impact of self-scan checkout losses might be. And that was probably one of my most challenging studies I've ever done. It was only supposed to take 12 months, but it ended up taking 2 years simply because of the challenge of getting hold of the data and understanding how these new systems, this introduction of the you know, what people increasingly calling the frictionless retail world, what is the consequence of that for retailers in terms of increasing their risk to loss? So I think across the years, I think those are the three that I'm particularly proud of.
Yeah, Adrian, I know you recently did a webinar with Gatekeeper Systems to kind of talk about some of that self-scan checkout research, which was really informative and interesting. And so let me back up 1 second, though, to the second one you mentioned about this total retail loss, because, you know, as though I've been a wannabe, right, in the industry, just on the periphery for 15 years, right? And when we started out, it was, no one in retail knew how even to quantify shrink in any consistent way, right? So everybody's measuring their shrink totally different. Do you see that has evolved over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, where we're coming to a more standard definition? And if so, do you feel like this total retail loss is just another evolution of that for people to broaden their minds even more?
Yeah, I think it has changed a lot, and I think there's a number of reasons why things have changed. I think one is the retail landscape has changed so much. You know, you just go back 15, 20 years, you know, retailing is a very different beast than it was back then. And as a consequence of that, the palette of risks that retailers now have to face are really profoundly different. You know, I just use the example of self-checkout. You know, go back 20 years, nobody was really using self-checkout. So there was no risk associated with customers who may not be scanning items as they're supposed to be, or misrepresenting product at checkouts. You know, that risk simply wasn't there because that innovation had been introduced. So the palette of risk has changed. But where we've got stuck is that, you know, the term shrinkage was first used in 1860. That's when it was first used by the Cooperative Society, United Kingdom. And, you know, here we are, you know, over 150 years later, still using the same measure for loss, despite all the change we've seen in retail, the change in risk, but also, you know, the ability now to get hold of data to understand what is going on in retail environments. You know, I go back to when I first started in the late 1980s, early 1990s, and, you know, I described the loss prevention world as a data desert. there was nothing there. There was just the shrink number. And that was it, you know, which basically measures unknown loss because, you know, it's just based upon inventory data. So people do an annual audit and they count what stock they thought they had, and they realize what they've actually got. And the difference between the two is there is shrink. But actually understanding how that loss occurred is almost impossible to know, because it could have happened up to a year before you counted it. So, you know, we've seen all this change, and yet we seem to be still wedded to this, you know, term shrinkage, where nobody's agreed a definition, and I've given up trying to agree a definition of shrinkage. I've tried many times in the past, and that's why I really decided to say, look, you know, let's really understand how loss affects retail organizations. Let's understand what all the potential categories might be across the entire organization, so that we can begin to standardize around how we talk about this issue, but also understand what the size of the prize is. Because if you understand what all the losses are, then you've got the tools, hopefully, to begin to make a difference. So for me, shrinkage, which is I increasingly just call it unknown loss, because that's what it is. You know, it's just a loss of stuff that you don't know how it happened, is but one part of my total retail loss typology. And now I'm just about to publish the new version of it, which I think has got 42 categories of loss now, one of which is unknown loss. And so, you know, there's one company who shared some data with me, and they suggested that when they began to calculate their total retail loss number for their organization, the unknown loss bit, the shrinkage bit, was about 14%. So there's all this other loss that's been going on in organizations. But unfortunately, we've become terribly myopic in only focusing in on this one number, the shrinkage number, which varies enormously between organizations. And we're missing all these other opportunities for loss prevention to make a really, you know, progressive and valuable contribution to protecting the profits of retail organizations.
Yeah, the last point you just made is kind of where I wanted to take that. So coming from the LP world, I remember when, you know, my team had to count shopping carts. They had to do an audit of how many shopping carts they had every single day. And I remember my team going crazy on, why am I doing something like this? This is not traditional loss prevention. Why am I wasting my time? And the feedback was, well, we're adding value to our job, to our role, because there's more than just shoplifters and internal theft and operational loss. So when you start to look at total loss in today's LP world, I'm hearing from a lot of partners out there that the traditional VP of LP is now negotiating with insurance carriers and dealing with arbitrations. And so I guess my question is, are you seeing the result of this total loss concept? Is it adding credibility to the loss prevention professionals? Is it adding value to their role with this larger scope?
I think so. You know, and I've just done a survey of I think I ended up with about 98 retailers who responded to my total retail loss survey. And I asked them, you know, why, what, you know, for those who have adopted some of it, you know, why have you done this? And one of the big messages that just really echoes what you've just said was, you know what, we've got, if we want to continue to be relevant to this organization, we need to recognize that we now have to play a bigger, more expansive role. You know, and I remember one quote, I think, you know, the guy said something like, you know, if all I'm remembered for is just catching shoplifters and putting tags on things, you know what, I'll be redundant in 2 years' time, because there's so much more that needs to be done in the organization to protect the profit and to ensure that, you know, because, you know, we all know retailing is a fantastically competitive, aggressive world at the moment. You know, it's a tough space to be. And therefore, I think loss prevention need to look very hard to say, you know, what role can we play to enable our organizations to protect the profits that it needs to ensure its survival in this, you know, competitive world. And so we, you know, I'm increasing the view that the loss prevention manager of the future is actually somebody I would describe as an agent of change. You know, they need to act as a consultant within the organization saying, you know, in your part of the business, this is how I see how losses are affecting it. This is what I think you need to do to ensure that we don't lose as much in your part of the business. So don't take on all those risks and try and pool them into one place, but simply act as a consultant to say, you know what, in supply chain, we're seeing these are the big issues because we've collected the data, we understand the risks, this is what we think we should be doing. And similarly in stores and online, you know, and all these other spaces that are increasingly part of complex retail organizations, LP need to have their fingers in those pies to show the value that they can contribute.
So I think if, you know, you're a loss prevention professional that has a small team, or you're in a small company, or you're in a big one that has, you know, lots more resources than those that are wearing multiple hats. Like, what would your advice be when you say, you know, we first started using this term in 1860, right? And still using the word shrinkage. And then you're helping push the industry to not just maintain, but actually innovate. Like, what would your advice be to both professionals? One at the small company that's wearing lots of hats, and one that's big, that has lots of resources, but maybe isn't getting heard. Like, how do each one of those professionals truly innovate without, you know, pushing too hard to where they're pushing themselves out the door?
Sure. Yeah, no, and it's difficult because I think, you know, it's very easy to generalize across retail organizations. And I increasingly don't think it's very helpful to try and generalize across too much, because, you know, what is appropriate for a grocer is not necessarily appropriate for an apparel retailer. And yet we see these surveys that just collect the numbers from all these and throw them into one number. And I don't think it's appropriate. And for me, one of the reasons I try and push total retail loss is to say, first of all, can it help you understand what is the size of the prize? And I was trying to use positive language around this, which is, you know, because loss prevention is wrapped in negative language. It's about loss. It's about crime. It's about, you know, negativity around even the name loss prevention. You know, it's all very negative words. And, you know, I think if you can say, look, this is the size of the prize in terms of this is how much profit we're not making because of what we're allowing to happen within our organization. Let's now go chase after the biggest low, you know, the low hanging fruit around those numbers. What can we go after first? Let's go and deal with the easy stuff first. And so I often try and advocate to smaller retailers to use what I often describe as the hot concept, which is, you know, that we know that risk isn't evenly distributed in space, in societies. You know, if I went to your city, you know, there'll be certainly parts of your city where you would say to me, you know what, if I were you, I wouldn't go there because it's pretty risky. And I would do the same if you came to my city. So we know that risk isn't evenly distributed. So what smaller retailers can do is to say, how can we begin to identify the hot elements within our organizations to focus on them first? So, for instance, you know, are there hot places? Are there certain stores where the losses are higher? Are there certain types of products that are much more prone to loss than others? Are there certain types of processes that we have that are more vulnerable to creating loss than others? And so on. So you can begin to identify the hot elements within your organization. And then you go after those first and deal with the ones, you know, that are the hottest. And then you can begin to move to the cooler ones and begin to deal with those. So I'm a great believer in trying to generate focus because, as you say, it's very easy to get overwhelmed with the size of the problem because there is so much you could deal with. And that's where larger organizations have got bigger teams who can begin to focus across broader areas. But for smaller retailers, I would say, you know, use the hot concept to really drive into those areas that are giving you the biggest pain, because you're likely to get the biggest return on those as well.
So I think kind of to build off of what Amber asked in your discussion there, a lot of the people that listen, well, we hope people listen. Sometimes Amber and I are just talking and we don't know if anybody's listening, but I think a lot of the people that are listening to the podcast are everything from the VP of LP through the field management to the entry level person that's just getting into loss prevention and trying to determine, is this a career for me or not? But I think across that whole spectrum, pushing continued education and trying to learn more about what impact they can have is important. So what's the best way for anybody in this industry to access research? How do they get informed other than, you know, listening to something like this? How can they independently go out and learn about these types of studies?
Yeah, it traditionally has been difficult because there haven't been very many, you know, formal teaching platforms for loss prevention. I mean, at my university, we provided an MBA around security and risk management, but retail was only a small part of that. It covered a much broader range of stuff. And I think one of the things I've been trying to do with, you know, so I'm an academic advisor to both RELA, but also the ECR Community Shrinkage and On-Shelf Availability Group, which is a group based in Europe, which is made up of retailers and suppliers, manufacturers. And, you know, the goal of that organization is to provide resources to carry out new research and new ideas around loss prevention. And so they commissioned me to do research. But What I really love about that organization is that all the research that I've produced over the last 20 years I've been their academic advisor is made freely available to the community. There is no charge for any of the reports, any of the podcasts, any of the workshops that we provide. They're all free. Because we're trying to deal with this issue of how do you disseminate new ideas, new knowledge to a community that has traditionally not had access to this sort of stuff. So I'm a great believer in trying to publish things as broadly as we can in practitioner publications, doing things like this, giving away my research on websites, you know, all over the world, giving presentations at workshops wherever I can. Because it is hard, you're right, it is hard to get knowledge. But it is an awful lot better than it used to be. When I started out as a researcher back in 1988, 89, I couldn't find anything published on this topic at all. There was one or two working papers from the British government. There was Dick Hollinger's work, you know, on staff dishonesty and the National Retail Security Survey. But that was about it. And now I think you've got things like the Security Journal, you've got the Loss Prevention Magazine, you've got podcasts like this. So I think, you know, the developments around technologies and dissemination of knowledge has become much better. So I think for those who have got a keen mind, the internet has become a great source, you know, for information around this that simply wasn't. I mean, when I first started, there wasn't the internet, for goodness sake. I'm described as a, you know, as an innocent in terms of the internet, because I was brought up without it.
I like that description, and I'm going to use that. I'm the innocent too.
Yeah. they called us digital innocents.
Yeah, right? That's me, because I'll tell you, no one believes this because I just look so young. I don't know what it is, but when I was getting my master's degree, I was going to the library and working microfiche, right? And people were like, microfiche, what's that? Dave Thompson probably doesn't know, you little youngin, but I'm telling you. So Adrian, my mouth dropped open when you were like free, right? Free research, because that's, I honestly feel silly that I didn't know that, because that's incredible. Can you tell our audience like a little bit more of where to get this free resource? And also when you have your next, research project coming out, like any dates that you're like, okay, look for, you know, the next one around this time frame.
Yeah, sure. If you know, listeners want to go to the, if they just search for the ECR Community Shrinkage and On-Shelf Availability Group, on that website, all the publications are there, freely available to download, and including podcasts we've done, webinars we've done, research papers. They're all there, stretching back 20 years now.
That's incredible. So is that all UK-based retail, or is it also states mixed in?
All over the world. All over the world. So I've the work I did on self checkout, which is freely available from that website, was mainly US and UK retailers, but there's also some mainland European countries as well, as we have to call them. I've done work, you know, all over the world. So no, it's not just exclusive to the UK. It's you know, wherever retail organizations have been prepared to share data as part of studies, they've been included in this work. So yeah, it's all there. It's all available.
That's incredible.
You know, and to their credit, Rela as well, you know, the total retail loss report I did in 2016, that's freely available from their website as well. And the next report that is coming out in October will be freely available on their website also. So, you know, it's out there. And I'm, as I say, I'm a great believer of this being free. There's lots of organizations that want to charge, as we say here, an arm and a leg for research. And, you know, I just think that acts as a barrier. If we want the industry to get better and to be more informed and to be more valued by the rest of the retail sector, we need to make sure that they get access to all the most up-to-date and available research.
Yeah, we are totally on board with that. I mean, I think that's incredible and amazing that you have all this research at your fingertips, and it all started by listening to talklp.com.
Yeah, of course it did.
See, I'm taking full credit for your research since 1980.
Quite right. Quite right.
I knew it was coming. Why not? So that is incredible, Adrian. We hope that this hasn't been too painful, that you will come back and be a regular guest with us on discussing what you have coming up, and maybe even taking some of this free research and highlighting some of your key takeaways, just so our listeners can maybe digest it a little easier and then get it to that website and that community. That's phenomenal.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think, you know, as I say, I've got the next report coming out in October, which is what I'm calling Total Retail Loss 2.0, from theory to practice, which will be something we could certainly talk about. I'm just starting a project on the way in which retailers are using video technologies. You know, video has been around in retail for an awful long time, but the vast majority of it has been analog. And we're now seeing this new generation of digital systems coming in. And I think it's potentially got some really interesting opportunities for LP, the way that they can use the video technology, the digitization of video, I think is really fascinating. So that's going to be ready by early in 2020, as it will be then, probably in January 2020. But I've also, you know, I'm doing the project for that has been sponsored by Gatekeeper as well, actually, which is the... I'm trying to measure the extent of trolley pushouts, but also then the impact of Gatekeeper's intervention, the Percheck technology. So I'm currently collecting data from a series of both UK and European retailers who are running trials at the moment, and they've given me access to all their data around that. So I'm hoping to be able to have that study published in late in the autumn, I suspect, given the way that the data is coming together. We've got some more retailers who are coming online, so we need to give them time to collect data, but I think that's going to be very exciting as well, and hopefully that will be a free report as well. And then just finally, I'm going to be starting probably another generation of self-scan checkout research as well, because it's such a hot topic. So Amber, I think there's an awful lot of stuff we could talk about in the future.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think what's really cool is it seems like there are some research studies out there that are available that are valuable, that are kind of like a survey, you know, where people are just basically giving their anecdotal thoughts on it. But what's cool about your research is you take the time to get the data, do the trials in the locations with the retailers. That's why it takes so long, but that's why it's also so significant. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, well, we really
it's difficult. Retailers, as you probably know, can be quite difficult beasts to work with.
No, I don't.
Yes.
Well, we really appreciate your time, Adrian, and we look forward to having you on again to talklp.com. And if you want Adrian to address a topic that you have on your mind, all you listeners out there, tweet us at Let's Talk LP, and you can always send us an email. Amber Bradley, Dave Thompson, you guys can find us on the internet. LinkedIn, send me a LinkedIn message. It's not too hard to find us. So again, thanks so much for listening, and we appreciate you. Follow us at Let's Talk LP. Thanks, everybody.